from KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm John Sepulveda. So as you might remember, last month, the Republican push to overturn the Affordable Care Act crashed harder than a toddler after a sugar binge. But as KQED's health editor Carrie Feibel explains, lawmakers in Sacramento are still worried about other health care hangups.
Democrat Jim Wood is chairman of the Assembly Health Committee. He says he's hopeful that at least California won't be going backwards on health policy.
We hit the pause button. And I think everybody collectively has kind of like, okay, now we can breathe a little bit and we can try to move forward.
But there's still anxiety about what Republicans might do to covered California, the state exchange. The Affordable Care Act kicks in two types of subsidies to help low-income exchange consumers pay their health bills. Diana Dooley, California's Health and Human Services Secretary, is worried because Republicans could still cancel one of those two subsidies.
There is the possibility that through administrative action, the Trump administration can stop making those payments to the plans. If they do that, it's a $7 billion loss nationally and about $700 million in California alone.
There's also a court hearing on the issue on May 22nd. Dooley says the timing couldn't be worse. Her agency is now negotiating with health insurers. The companies must decide by June whether to keep participating in Covered California in 2018.
Markets like stability, and we need to have answers to these questions as soon as possible.
In the meantime, lawmakers are turning their attention to other health issues. Assemblyman Wood is interested in restoring health services that California cut back in 2009 because of the recession. For example, eyeglasses. Medi-Cal still covers eye exams, but no longer covers the frames.
So you already know you can't see really well, and now you know what your prescription is, but you have no way to rectify that. So it's like, wow.
And California still hasn't restored Medi-Cal cuts to doctor payments or income supplements for disabled people. For the California Report, I'm Carrie Feibel.
Okay, since President Trump took office, there have been many, many, many stories of immigrants who have been detained and sometimes deported. Many of these stories, I'm thinking about the one about the Trump voter whose husband was deported, focus on the politics of immigration. But this isn't the first time there has been strict immigration enforcement. So what's different about the policy? KPCC's Leslie Beristein Rojas reports.
Deportation!
Last month, protesters rallied in downtown Los Angeles in support of Romulo Avelica Gonzalez. He's the father of four who was arrested by immigration officials in February, this after dropping off one of his daughters at her Highland Park school. His case made national headlines, but Avelica might not have drawn this attention 2 years ago. That's when his family says immigration agents first came to their home. His older daughter, Brenda Avelica, describes the visit.
They went in into the house, but not all the way in, just like in the gate in the yard. He felt that it was ICE, so he didn't come out. So they didn't take him that day.
Immigration officials would not comment on previous attempts to detain Avelica, but they do say that a deportation order from 2014, combined with a minor criminal record, would have made him a priority for arrest back then, in 2015, under President Obama's guidelines. In fact, the Obama administration deported record numbers of immigrants, and the Bush administration arrested immigrants with outstanding deportation orders, sometimes in their homes, in front of their families. Bystanders who were in the U.S. illegally were also picked up. Agents called these collateral arrests. So what's different now? Deportations for January and February of this year are up slightly over a year ago, but by under 1,000. Officials say many cases were already in the works before the inauguration. Doris Meissner directed the Immigration and Naturalization Service in the 1990s. The agency preceded the Department of Homeland Security. She says Trump's executive order on immigration does change things.
The guidelines say that everybody who is in the country without a legal status is subject to deportation from the country.
She says Trump's order rolls back enforcement policy to several years ago, before President Obama ordered agents to focus on those convicted of crimes. Meissner says this means we'll see more collateral arrests again and more arrests of unauthorized immigrants who don't have criminal records. So if enforcement is back to where it was a decade ago, why does it seem as though the fear now is greater? Alex Nogales has one theory. He directs the National Hispanic Media Coalition, a watchdog group.
What is so different now than it was 10 years ago, even 5 years ago? And what it is that the talk is out there day in, day out.
Past administrations have carried out tough immigration enforcement, but they didn't engage in the same harsh rhetoric that Donald Trump has.
They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists.
Now, Nogales says people are reacting to the words from the country's top leader. Immigrant advocates put the stories out, he says, and media outlets spread them. Add social media to the mix, and sometimes the wrong information gets out. Like when rumors swirled in February that ICE arrested 100 people in one day, something ICE denied. Or when panic erupted on Twitter last month over an agent's van parked by a church. Federal officials said he was attending a funeral. But one result of this tense atmosphere is that immigrants like Avelica might receive more legal help. After his arrest, activists launched an effort to stop his deportation. Lawyers are trying to find a way to keep him in the country. Here's his daughter, Brenda Avelica, again.
I feel like immigration is even maybe a little bigger now. So maybe it is getting more attention now than before.
She hopes that heightened attention will at least get her father released. For the California Report, I'm Leslie Beristein Rojas in Los Angeles.
Well, if lawmakers are going to go on break, let us take a small audio break and go to San Diego. Focus on something cute. The endangered Kino checkerspot butterfly is flying in the San Diego National Wildlife Refuge this spring for the first time in several years. KPBS's Eric Anderson reports.
Biologist John Martin surveys a plateau on a San Diego mountainside. He can see downtown San Diego from this hard-to-reach vantage point, but that's not what he's here to look at.
So this open area that I'm sitting in here is a high-quality habitat for Kino checkerspot butterfly.
Kinos live most of their life as larvae, but for about 3 weeks in the spring, the butterflies flutter over sage scrub. Their black, brown, and white wings used to be common in Southern California. Millions flew from the Santa Monica Mountains to Mexico. But the population crashed in the mid-1970s, and the Kinos got endangered species protection in 1997. Sprawling suburbs stole a lot of the butterfly's habitat.
It's kind of like a bouncing ball. Like, this is a species that booms and busts, but each time the ball bounces, it's not bouncing quite as high.
Susan Wynn is a Fish and Wildlife Service biologist who's spent a lot of time and energy working to improve the butterfly's future.
Some of these sites, it's just bounced so low that they don't have that resiliency or that adjacent population to rebound from. And so we're hoping to get the techniques sort of figured out so that when we need to give it a little boost, bounce the ball a little higher, we'll have that ability.
That boost came from a partnership developed with the San Diego Zoo. Genetically similar Kinos captured in Riverside County were brought to a tiny trailer where entomologist Paige Howarth set up a captive rearing plan.
So the adult females that we receive from the wild come in, and we set them up in these enclosures with the host plant. So this is what they'll lay their eggs on.
The effort produced more than 700 larvae that were released last December. Another 800 caterpillars joined them in January. For biologists Susan Wynn and John Martin, the payoff came this spring.
There's another one there. Did it, John.
We'll have done it.
When they come next year.
Next year.
Wynn and Martin were delighted to see about 20 Kinos flying in the refuge.
It worked. They are right on track with the natural populations as far as, you know, they're emerging the same week.
The Fish and Wildlife Service has enough money set aside to do 2 more years of captive rearing and releasing. The hope is the effort will boost the local population enough to allow the rare butterflies to thrive. For the California Report, I'm Eric Anderson in San Diego.
Okay, true confession time. I don't know anything about what happens to garbage, waste, refuge. And so each week this month, I'm checking in with KQED's science reporter Lindsay Hoshaw to get educated. We call the segment Trash Talk. And Lindsay, this week we're talking about San Francisco's secret garbage workers. Say what?
Yes, actually, secret recycling workers. So everyone knows that they're recycling workers that take care of your recyclables. But what you may not know is that there's a hardworking, dedicated team that cleans out those recycling machines every single day. And for decades, they were working at night. So as soon as all the machines went off at night, they were going in and cleaning out bits of plastic that clog up the machines, pulling reams of VHS videotape.
People still use that?
Apparently.
Okay.
Apparently they do. Or it may be one of those cases where people are going through their closets and it gets tangled in these machines. And without this team of workers, there's no way that they would be able to process the tons and tons of material.
So what are these recycling machines doing? Are they sorting the different things that come in? Are they saying, okay, well, this is a VHS tape of Growing Pains featuring a young Leonardo DiCaprio, so we're going to keep this one, but this Death to Smoochie movie, that one's going away? Now, are they helping me with my bad jokes? Can they help recycle my bad jokes?
They definitely can. But I think you're doing okay on your own, actually. So there's one specific machine, actually, that's getting clogged. It's not that all the machines are getting clogged. There's a conveyor belt that's moving all sorts of material onto something called a spinning disc screen. And you can imagine this like rows and rows of spinners. They look sort of like thimbles of thread, but they're all together and they move so that bigger items get pushed up top and smaller items can kind of filter through. But they're really close together and they're spinning so that any small material, things that can get tangled like VHS videotape or plastic bags, those are the things that get clogged. They become like these big giant sort of snowballs collecting more and more items until the machine just stops.
And so it's literally every 7 nights a week there are people going through these machines.
Yeah, there are people behind the scenes that have to handle all this stuff. And so when you're thinking about, do I throw this in the blue bin, the green bin, or the black bin? Make sure you're putting it in the right one.
Use the right bin, people. That's what you're saying.
Use the right bin. Make sure you know. Oh, and one of the things that is treacherous for these recycling workers are hangers. So coat hangers. Yeah, because they get tangled in all sorts of stuff and they're thin and they're wire. If you can take them back to a dry cleaner where you got them, that's the best. Otherwise, don't put them in the recycling.
Do not put your hangers in the recycling, people. Be nice to the secret workers. Brought to us by Lindsay Hoshaw. Lindsay, thank you so much.
Thanks.
Support for the California Report comes from the California Healthcare Foundation, dedicated to a healthcare system that works for all Californians. On the web at chcf.org. The James Irvine Foundation, accepting nominations now for the 2018 James Irvine Foundation Leadership Awards at irvine.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.
Gas engines are loud, hybrid engines are silent. Well, criminals of Los Angeles, take note, because you won't be able to hear the cops creep up on you. That's because Ford is testing a new hybrid police car in LA. You can see reviews on my Twitter feed. I'm at JohnLGC. That's the California Report for Monday, April 10th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm John Sepulveda. Have a great day.